بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وعلى كل من سار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him. We seek His help and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness and for His mercy. We seek refuge with Allah from the evils of ourselves and from the evils of our wrong actions. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can lead astray. And whomsoever is left to go astray, none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can guide them. I bear witness and I testify that there is no deity, no God worthy of worship except Allah. And I bear witness and I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and final messenger. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the many blessings that He has blessed us with. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to count, if you were to enumerate the blessings of Allah, you will not be able to count them. We will never be able to count all of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. And from amongst the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He has put for us, put in place for us, seasons or times or stops for us to reflect and to ponder about where we are headed, what we are doing, what is our purpose on the face of this earth. And from amongst the stops, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has put in place yearly stops, such as what? Such as Hajj. Also, we find from amongst the yearly stops we have the month of Ramadan. And from amongst the stops that we find throughout the year is we have weekly stops. And what am I referring to? Salatul Jumu'ah. And then we have daily stops. And that is the five daily prayers. And so we have all of these different stops that we stop to revive our iman, to give it a little bit of a boost. And subhanAllah, as we find, for example, in this very state in New South Wales, we find that if you're driving along one of those freeways, you often see a sign. And what does it say? It says, stop, revive, and survive. And subhanAllah, once I was traveling and I saw this very sign. And subhanAllah, I turned the sign around to benefit me as a Muslim. And then I thought about it, and that subhanAllah, just like we go on these distant journeys and we need to stop so we can revive our well-being, our health, so we can survive, so we don't go crashing into other people. Well, likewise, we're all on a journey on the face of this earth. And that journey is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And along the way, there are many obstacles that are thrown at us. There are many obstacles that the shaitan, he puts in front of us. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows about this. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? He sets in place these stations. Just like these driver reviver sites that we have. They might give you a Kit Kat for that break. Or they might give you a coffee. And what does that do? It gives you that energy, gives you that boost. And today, when we walk around the shopping centers, we see stuff like Boost Juice. We see all these different juices and these different things that they throw at us so we can increase, we can have more energy. And likewise, that iman of ours, it also needs to be nurtured. It also needs to be nourished. And so we need to take advantage of these stops that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in place for us. Stop, revive, and survive. And so we find from amongst the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he would say, Allahumma barik lana bi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. Oh Allah, bless for us the month of Rajab and the month of Sha'ban, which is the month we're in right now. وَبَلِّغْنَا رَمَضَانَ and deliver us to the month of Ramadan. And subhanAllah, we find that the Sahaba and those who followed closely in their footsteps, they actually internalized these words and they knew the real benefit of Ramadan. They understood that Ramadan is an institute. And so for 6 months of the year, they would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to deliver them to the month of Ramadan. And once they entered into the institute of Ramadan and they were cleansed out from this month, they knew that Ramadan contains an enormous amount of benefit and virtue. And so for the next 6 months, they would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the deeds and the words and the actions that they did in the month of Ramadan. How many of us are following in their footsteps? And that's what we need to do, brothers and sisters in Islam. We need to respond to the call of Allah and to the call of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلْرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. O you who have believed, and inshallah all of us are believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing every single one of us here. Every single muwahid, every single person who says La ilaha illallah. He says, O you who believe, respond to Allah, fulfill your obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated you with, and answer the call of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. What does يُحْيِيكُمْ mean? يُحْيِيكُمْ means to that which gives you life. The Qur'an and the Sunnah that alhamdulillah that Allah has blessed us with, it gives us life. And the opposite of life is what? Is death. We don't want to be dead. We don't want to be walking zombies. Today, subhanAllah, we find that people are dead. And we find, subhanAllah, that people are living in misery and depression and anxiety. So much so that when it comes to depression, we find today in the pharmaceutical world that the third top selling medicines are those which are to do with depression. After medicine for heart problems and after medicine to do with diabetes. So subhanAllah, we find that depression could actually lead to what? It could lead to heart disease. And it makes you dysfunctional. It makes you dysfunctional in your home. It makes you dysfunctional at your workplace. So you find it very difficult to achieve so much and to actually achieve your aspirations and your goals in life because you are depressed, you are miserable. And so because they forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes them forget about themselves. And we read about this in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ. They forgot about Allah, so Allah forgets about them. And so we find people, they don't no longer know how to become happy. They don't know the path to happiness. They don't know how to deal with the problems that they have, whether in their home, in their work, or with their iman. Because they forgot about Allah. And that's why we need to make sure that we maintain a very strong relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must not turn them into missed opportunities. There's a lot of opportunity here, brothers and sisters in Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ni'matani maghbunun feehima kathirun minan nas, that there are two blessings that many people, as a result of these blessings, they incur loss. They don't really embrace those two blessings the way in which they should be embraced. What are those two blessings? Number one is the sihha, which is your health, and the other one is your spare time, al-faragh. Many of us, we're wasting time. That's what we're doing. We're wasting time. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also said, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. He said, take advantage or take benefit of five things before another five things come about. He said, take good care of your youth before your old age. Take benefit of your health before your sickness. Take benefit of your wealth before your poverty. Take benefit of your free time before your preoccupation. And take benefit of your life before your death. And in the hadith which is found in Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he informed us that the feet of a slave on the day of judgment will not move. لا تزول قدم عبد, that the feet will not move until You answer four questions, and one of those questions that we need to answer on the day of judgment is about his life and how he spent it. What's your response going to be, brothers and sisters in Islam? Are you going to say that you spent it in sleep? Are you going to say that you spent it in front of the television? Are you going to say that you spent it shopping or playing cards? Or you spent it on the internet? Or you spent it on eBay? Because that's what a lot of people do. They're so caught up with the dunya. They got to have the latest technology, the latest devices. And so they spend countless number of hours in front of eBay. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And so subhanAllah, we find, brothers and sisters in Islam, that the Salaf al-Salih, our pious predecessors, they used to value their time more than they valued their wealth, more than they valued what? Their possessions. And we find, for example, Hassan al-Basri. He's one of the Tabi'un. Listen to these words. He said, I met some people that were more stingier with their time than their wealth. The dunya, the wealth, the money, the treasure, who cares about that? But they were more worried about their time and how they occupied their time, because again, they internalized the Quran, they internalized the Sunnah, and they saw the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commissioned him with the message. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal muzammil, qum fa'anzir, get up and propagate and proclaim and spread Islam. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he received the message of Islam at what age? At 40. And then for 23 years, we don't hear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting down or asleep or doing nothing. And this is the problem that we have today, brothers and sisters in Islam. We need to occupy our time wisely in order to fill the emptinesses in our life. There's emptiness, subhanAllah, in our hearts. As the ulama have said, there is al-faragh al-qalbi. There is emptiness. There's a void in our hearts. And believe me, brothers and sisters in Islam, that a heart that is not permeated, that is not filled with iman, with Islam, with sincerity, with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the love of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that heart is going to become a toy that the devil plays with. That's what happens. It becomes a lu'ba. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَلَا إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةٍ, that in this body that we have, that there is a mudgha, there is a morsel of flesh, that if it is sound, if it is good, the whole body is going to be good and it's going to be sound. But if it's corrupted, then the rest of the body is going to be corrupted. And that's why the heart, brothers and sisters in Islam, the heart is what? It's the king. And if the king is sound, and if the king is a good king, what can we then say about the soldiers? They'll also be good. But when the king is corrupt, then everybody underneath him is corrupt. And that's what's happening. When our hearts are permeated with iman, filled with iman, then we're going to find the limbs are going to be energetic. And so we need to tend to our spiritual heart. Isn't it funny, brothers and sisters in Islam, that as soon as, for example, our heart beats irregularly, what happens? What do? You go to the hospital, you go to the emergency, you call 000. But what about when our iman is lacking? Because that's what the problem is. The problem is in the heart. And so just like we attend to the physical heart, we need to also tend to what? To the spiritual heart. That's what we have. We have a spiritual heart and it needs to be fed and it needs to be nourished. So today we're not occupying our times. There's a void. There is al-faragh al-qalbi. There's emptiness in the hearts. There is al-faragh al-aqli. What does that mean? There is emptiness in our brains, in our biological computers, in our necktops. SubhanAllah, you know, all of us, we have these days laptops, right? And what do we do with our laptops? We make sure we have the latest up-to-date software, right? And we have what? We have antiviruses, right? Look how much money and effort we spend in front of Google, you know, looking up things to fill, you know, our computers with this free stuff. And subhanAllah, we'll also spend money, right? But what about this aqal, this necktop? How many of us are really injecting the iman and the knowledge that's going to really benefit us? That's really going to keep away the shaitan, the antiviruses. SubhanAllah. You see what's happening here, brothers and sisters? we've lost focus. And so we need to nourish our brains and install beneficial software and antiviruses. And subhanAllah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to seek refuge, he used to make dua, and he used to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa. Oh Allah, I seek refuge from you, I seek your protection from knowledge which is not beneficial. Let's keep away from knowledge which is no benefit in it. And alhamdulillah, we have lots and lots of books and websites and audio material that can benefit us insha'Allah ta'ala. And we also have al-faraghun nafsi. We have emptiness in our nafs. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Shams, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and by the soul, and he who proportioned it, and he inspired it about what is wrong and what is right, he has succeeded. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. He has succeeded. He is victorious. The one who purifies this soul. When you purify your soul, you are going to be successful. You're going to be happy. There's going to be no room for depression and anxiety and stress, insha'Allah ta'ala. And so we need to really internalize these verses. And so just like you can become addicted to the haram, you can also become addicted to the halal. Walhamdulillah, how much halal is out there. Now, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Ramadan, it's one of the greatest symbols of Islam, one of the greatest sha'air of Islam. The more you honor Ramadan, the more you take Ramadan seriously, this is an indication of your iman. This is an indication, an indicator. You want to gauge your iman, look at your approach to Ramadan. How do you approach Ramadan? How seriously do you take Ramadan? The more serious take it, then inshallah, then that's an indication that your heart is good, that your iman is good. And we read in Surah Al-Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whoever honors the symbols of Allah, وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. That whoever honors the symbols of Allah, that is truly from the piety of the heart. And despite, however, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, despite the sacredness of this month, we find many Muslims who don't care about Ramadan, or who don't treat Ramadan in the way it should be treated, who don't venerate it, who do not respect this particular noble month. And we find, subhanAllah, when it comes to Ramadan, that the Muslims are divided into six groups. And I want you to listen carefully here. And which group will you belong to this Ramadan, insha'Allah ta'ala? Six groups we find the Muslims fit into. The first group, they're the worst of the lot. The first group are those who don't fast. They don't fast Ramadan. They don't even pray, or probably casually pray. They don't treat the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seriously and in the way that they should be treated. They are enslaved to what? They are enslaved to their nafs, to their desires, to their hawa. And they are enslaved to what? They are enslaved to the shaitan, wal-iyadhu billah, to the devil. And subhanAllah, these people, they are actually punished in this life. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا, and don't be like those, نَسُوا اللَّهِ, they forgot about Allah. فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. So he makes them forget about themselves. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. They are the defiantly disobedient ones. As for the punishment in the hereafter, for the one who does not fast the month of Ramadan, in the hadith, which is collected by Ibn Khuzaymah and Ibn Hibban, and Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah, he actually declared this hadith as being sahih, as being authentic. In the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had a dream and he said, two angels, two men came to me and they took me, and he mentions the hadith that they took him to a rugged mountain. They took the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam while he was sleeping to a rugged mountain. And they said to him, climb. And he began to climb and he found it difficult to climb. And as he approached the top of the mountain, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he heard noises. And he said, what are these noises? And so when he looked, he saw people, their mouths, the side of their mouths were ripped open and there was blood gushing out of their mouths. And then Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, who are they? And then he was informed, they are people who broke their fast before the time was due. Not that they didn't fast. They broke their fast before the time was due. So what can be said about those who have the audacity not to fast the month of Ramadan? And we find, subhanAllah, that Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah, he mentioned beautiful words. He said, مَا رَأَيْتُ يَقِينًا لَا شَكَّ فِيهِ أَشْبَهَ بِشَكٍ لَا يَقِينَ فِيهِ إِلَّا الْمَوْتِ. He said, I didn't see anything that is so certain, that is so inevitable, that is so certain, where there is no doubt about it, whereby the people, they treat it and they go about as if there is doubt about it, and that is death. Everybody knows that death is for sure. It will happen to every single one of us. كل نفس ذائقة الموت. And everybody knows that we will die. Yet subhanAllah, there's no doubt about that, but we find that people go about through their actions as if they are not going to die. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. The second group of Muslims that we find in Ramadan are those, they transform the days into nights and the nights into days. What do I mean by that? They spend the days in what? In sleep. They just sleep throughout the day and they're like leopards in the night. SubhanAllah. Again, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said what? He said, أَكْثِرُوا مِن ذِكْرِ هَادِمُ اللَّذَّاتِ. He said, remember much. Remember much what? The destroyer of desires. هَادِمُ اللَّذَّاتِ. The destroyer of pleasures. What's that? Death. This is one of the ways that inshallah is going to draw us nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that one day we're going to die. And we find also that Sa'id ibn Jubayr, he mentioned again some beautiful words. And he said, حياتي بذكر الموت ولو قد ذهب الموت من قلبي لمات قلبي. He said, my real life is through the remembrance of death. If the remembrance of death is removed from my heart will die. Again, there'll be that emptiness, there'll be that lack of iman. The third group of Muslims in the month of Ramadan are those who only abstain from food and drink. So they'll stop eating, they'll refrain from eating and drinking, but they'll engage in other types of haram. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ بِأَنْ يَضَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever does not abandon evil speech and acting upon evil speech, then to Allah there is no need for this person to leave off his food and his drink. And the hadith is found in Bukhari. And in the hadith which is found in Tirmidhi, listen to this hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in front of the sahaba, he gets up on the minbar, on the pulpit, and he walks up the first step and he says, Ameen. And then he gets up on the second step and he says, Ameen. And he gets up on the third step and he says, Ameen. What does Ameen mean? It means, oh Allah, respond. Oh Allah, accept this dua. And so the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said to him, Ya Rasulallah, we saw you get up on the first and the second and the third step and you were saying, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. Ya Rasulallah, what did you mean? He says that Jibreel said to me, may Allah curse a person who let Ramadan elapse without having his sins forgiven. Say Ameen. And he said Ameen. And then when he got to the second step, he said, may Allah curse the one who lives to see his parents grow old. One or both of them. He lives to see them grow old. but he does not enter paradise. In other words, he's bir to them, he's not being dutiful towards them, does not enter him paradise. Say Ameen. So he said Ameen. And then when he was at the third step, Jibreel said, may Allah curse the one in whose presence you, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are mentioned, and he does not send blessings upon you. Say Ameen. And he said Ameen. The first one that he said Ameen to was what? The person who goes to Ramadan, Ramadan concludes, and he comes out without having his sins forgiven. And so that was the third group of Muslims in Ramadan. The fourth group of Muslims in Ramadan. The fourth group are who are known as the Ramadan Muslims. The ones that they only know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the month of Ramadan. They worship Allah, they pray, they're at the masajid, they're doing all the things that they should be doing all throughout the whole year, because the Lord of Ramadan is the Lord of every other month. But they only know the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the masajid in the month of Ramadan. And so they, the ulama, they refer to them as Ramadan Muslims. Some ulama, as I came across, they also referred to them as pagans. They went very harsh on them. They said they are pagans. Why? Because they are worshipping Ramadan instead of worshipping the Lord of Ramadan. And so, subhanAllah, we find the Salafus Salih, we find the pious predecessors, their whole year was Ramadan. Think about it. Think about how many brothers and sisters died in this last year, from last Ramadan to this Ramadan. Put your hand up if you have a relative or a friend that you know in Sydney that died from the last Ramadan to this Ramadan. Put your hand up. Put it up high. How many would that be? About 50% of the masjid? Subhanallah. We all know, but how many of us are taking an admonishment from death? When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turned to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu wa arda, and he said, "Inna fil mawti la maw'idha," that verily in death there is a maw'idha, there is an admonition. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he walked past a grave, a qabr, and he said, who is the inhabitant, who is the person in this grave? And they said, that is such and such. And he said, two units of prayer are more beloved to this person than the dunya and what's in it. Alhamdulillah, right now we have the health, we have the security, we don't have the pressures. But why are many Muslims, subhanAllah, they are not praying? They don't want to fast. How many Muslims in your workplace? I'm sure if you had like five people work in a firm, five Muslims, you'll find probably one of those five maybe prays. Or prays on time. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. So let us not be Ramadan Muslims. And then we have the fifth group. The fifth group are those who enter Ramadan and exit Ramadan without any change. Ramadan is turned into a missed opportunity, and a great deal of reward is forfeited. And subhanAllah, we're only given one life, brothers and sisters in Islam. One life. There's not going to be another life. There's not going to be coming back to the dunya. You can't come back. If anyone was going to come back, it would have been who? It would have been the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no coming back. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتُ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِيمَا تَرَكْتُ كَلَّا إنها كلمة هو قائلها ومن ورائهم برزخ إلى يوم يبعثون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حتى إذا جاء أحدهم الموت, when death comes to one of them, he says what? He says, رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. He says, oh my Lord, send me back. رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا so that I can do some righteousness from what I have left behind. What is the answer? كَلَّا No. The answer is there's no turning back. There's no coming back. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا It is a word that he has said. وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ And what lays ahead of them is a barrier, the barzakh, until the day that they'll be resurrected. And that was the fifth group of Muslims. As for the sixth group, they are those who are the best, and who are those who honor it the way our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and our pious predecessors, they honored the month of Ramadan. And so if we want to be like them, if we want to honor Ramadan, then we need to firstly instill and understand and read about the merits, read about the virtues of Ramadan. When we know about the prize, we work harder. Isn't that right? When you know about your destination, when you know that what awaits when you actually fulfill, for example, your degree, or what awaits when you accomplish a certain job, then what will happen? You actually work harder towards it. And that's why we need to have knowledge, brothers and sisters in Islam. And so when we instill the virtues in our minds and the merits, and we learn about the rewards, and we learn about the divine flybys, you know, subhanAllah, again, in the dunya, you know, we want flybys, you know, frequent flyer points. InshaAllah, we want hasanat. That's what we want, inshaAllah, because they're going to make us do more when we learn about the virtues. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaba, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi." That whoever fasts the month of Ramadan, imanan, believing that it's an obligation, wa ihtisaban, and out of sincerity, and out of seeking the rewards and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will have his past sins forgiven. And in the Jannah, there is a door called the Bab of Rayyan, the gate of Rayyan. It will be said, where are those who used to fast? And they will stand up and they will enter through this gate, and nobody else will be allowed to enter through this gate. InshaAllah, all of us will be from the people of Rayyan. Say Ameen. Ameen. From amongst the virtues is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, between as-salawatul khams, between the five daily prayers, وَرَمَضَانَ وَرَمَضَانَ and between one Ramadan and another Ramadan, and between Jumu'ah and Jumu'ah, between Friday and Friday, you will have your sins wiped out as long as what? As long as you avoid the major sins. If you want that complete wash, that complete cleansing, that complete polish, then we need to avoid the major sins. We need to avoid riba. We need to avoid usury and interest, and stop coming up with feeble excuses. We need to avoid the other major sins. And in the case of sisters, one that comes to my mind right now is plucking of the eyebrows, which is very rampant between many of our sisters. And plucking of the eyebrows is haram. It's one of the kaba'ir. It's one of the major sins in Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prohibited it. And when a woman came to Ibn Mas'ud, she said, "I have read the Quran from cover to cover, and I don't see anywhere in the Quran where it says that plucking is prohibited." And he says to her, "Have you not read, وَمَا نَاهَكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ?" That whatever he has prohibited you from doing, then leave it off. And so we need to leave off what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has commanded us to leave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ Beware, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ Those who go against the command of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. يُخَالِفُونَ أَن تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً That they will be afflicted with a fitna, with a trial, with a hardship, with punishment, or عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ Sometimes we see something as being trivial, we see something as being insignificant, we say, "Oh, what's that? That's nothing." وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ It's to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's something which is great, it's something which is mammoth. Wallahi, this, look at our approach to many of the things. Is it sunnah? Oh, it's not sunnah. Oh, it's only a sunnah. Oh, it's only makruh. Oh, it's only a minor sin. It's only a minor, it's not a major sin. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. So we need to have, inshallah, this Ramadan, a more serious approach when it comes to these issues. And so also we find from amongst the virtues that when it comes to Ramadan, there is no set reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the Hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we get rewarded 10 to 700 hasanat, good deeds for an action that we do, except for fasting. إِلَّا الصَّوْمْ فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. Except for fasting, and I will give the reward for it. So nobody can say what is the exact reward for Siyam. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. You leave off your food and your drink and your desire for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on and he says that Allah says, وَلِلصَّائِمِ فَرْحَتَانِ. That the Sa'im has two joys. He has a farha, he has a joy when he actually what? When he reaches out to reach for the food that was haram for him during the day. And so you get happy. You get happy when you see the dates in front of you. You get happy when you see the fatta in front of you. Huh? And when you see the wara anab, and when you see the kapsa, and when you see the biryani. You get happy. And when you see the Thai. And subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, all day it was haram and now it's halal. The joy enters the heart. And then the joy when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you have fasted the month of Ramadan. You know you fasted Ramadan. How happy is that? And subhanAllah, in this very hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَا خَلُوفُ فَمِ الصَّائِمِ أَتْشَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ رِيحِ الْمِسْكِ. That the smell that is emanating from the stomach of the sa'im, of the one who is fasting, is more beautiful, is more pleasant. It is more pure in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the smell of musk, which is a very beautiful smelling perfume. So I don't care what other people think of my breath. Well, I sort of do a little bit. But really, what we really care about here is what Allah is thinking. Because this smell, inshallah, will go in a few hours' time. And besides, you can't get close to your wife anyway. So, inshallah ta'ala, we need to instill the rewards and the virtues of Ramadan. And subhanAllah, we need to know one thing, brothers and sisters in Islam. We need to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He didn't legislate fasting so that we can undergo hunger and thirst. That's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He shara, He legislated that we fast just so that we don't eat or we don't drink. It's not about that. We've missed the whole point. It's a discipline. It's an institute that disciplines us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing us a favor. We're not doing favors for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in those very verses, He says what? يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. That Allah, He wants ease for you. He doesn't want hardship for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want us to go through hardship. So what is the objective then of fasting? It's not about thirst or hunger. It's about what? Who's going to tell me? What's the whole purpose? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات لعلكم تتقون. So that you may gain taqwa, you may gain the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Revering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He says what after it? Ayyaman ma'dudat. It's only a number of days. It's only a limited time. You know, subhanAllah, you know when we see an offer on eBay? Huh? What do we look for? Huh? We look for what? We look for the end date. Or we look at time. Or they might say limited time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said the same thing. He's offering us Ramadan, an institute which is going to give us taqwa, Okay? But it's only for a limited time. You've got to grab it while you can. You've got to embrace it. And subhanAllah, what's taqwa? Ibn Mas'ud, he said that taqwa, أن يطاع الله فلا يعصى. That you obey Allah and that you don't disobey Him. وَأَنْ يُذْكَرَ فَلَا يُنْسَى. And that you remember Allah and you don't forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنْ يُشْكَرَ فَلَا يُكْفَرَ. And that you thank Allah and you don't show ingratitude towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Believe me, brothers and sisters of Islam, what are you after? What do you want? You want wealth? What do you want? You want to get married? You want to have that Rexy, that Beamer, whatever? What do you want? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives you the solution, He gives you the formula. He says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. Whoever fears Allah, Allah makes things easy for him. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And whoever has taqwa Allah, whoever has the fear of Allah, reveres Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he puts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the top of his priorities, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will open up doors from where He least expects it, and He gives him provisions. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. What do you want? You want knowledge? You want to have a lot of knowledge in the dunya, in your fields, in your professions? Well, listen to this. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Fear Allah, and Allah will teach you. Be conscious of Allah, and you'll get that knowledge. So Ramadan is a training institute. 1 month of hard work that gives you hidayah, that gives you the guidance. And the hidayah, when it enters this heart, brothers and sisters in Islam, when the hidayah conquers, when it penetrates his heart, that's where you're going to see victory. That's when you're going to see miracles. That's where you're going to see amazing things happen in your life. As Ibn al-Arabi, he mentioned, he said, إِذَا حَلَّتِ الْهِدَايَةُ قَلْبًا نَشِطَتْ بِالْعِبَادَةِ الْأَعْضَاءُ. That when guidance conquers, when it penetrates the heart, the limbs become enthusiastic about worship. Again, listen to these words. He said, when guidance, when hidayah conquers the heart, the limbs, all our different body parts, the limbs become energetic. They become enthusiastic about worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you don't need to go for the V, and you don't need to go for energy drinks, and you don't need to have your Weet-Bix. Alhamdulillah, we have hidayah. We have the Quran, we have the Sunnah, we have the remembrance of Allah. And this is the real energy. That's what's going to give you energy. We find the ulama of the past, the righteous of them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ. كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. And when it comes to the night time, قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ, they used to sleep. Only a few hours. So where are they getting this energy from? They're being pumped. They're being boosted. Not from the boost juice, but from the ibadah. You don't need to spend your money. Save your money, ya shabab. Save your money. Save your money and you can, inshallah, get energy through what? Through hidayah, through ibadah. And so this year, inshallah ta'ala, at this yearly stop, the month of Ramadan, one of the best acts of worship you can do to revive your iman and to gain taqwa is to build a strong connection with the Quran. Build a strong connection with the Quran. And often you hear the ulama say, what? Ramadan shahrul Quran. Ramadan is the month of Quran. Why do they say that? You know why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Ramadan, Jibril alayhi salam would come down to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam every night and he would revise with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam Quran. That's why the ulama of the past, they used to close all the books other than the Quran, the fiqh circles and the hadith, and they would have this iqbal and they would actually come towards the Quran and embrace the Quran. That's what they used to do. Because they know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith which is found in Sahih Muslim, اقرأوا القرآن فإنه يأتي يوم القيامة شفيعا لأصحابه. Read the Quran, recite the Quran. For verily it will come on the day of judgment as what? As an intercessor, as a helper, to help you, to save you, to protect you. اقرأوا القرآن. فَإِنَّهُ يَأْتِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ شَفِيعًا لِأَصْحَابِ. And so then we see straight away the Sahaba who are listening to these prophetic gems, they're internalizing and they're translating these words into what? Into a reality. And so we have عثمان ابن عفان. عثمان ibn Affan, رحمه الله رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. He would recite the Quran once every day in the month of Ramadan. Every day, from cover to cover, 604 pages of the Quran, he would recite it every day, once. How many times a month? 30 times in the month of Ramadan. And some of them used to recite the Quran every 3 nights, and some every 7, and some every 10 days. Imam al-Shafi'i, رحمه الله تعالى. Imam al-Shafi'i, he would recite the Quran 60 times in the month of Ramadan outside of the Salat. And these ulama, when it came to Quran, most of their recital was usually done in the Salat. So that's what he did outside of the Salat. And Uthman ibn Affan, rahimahullah, you know what he said? He said, Wallahi, لو طهرت قلوبنا ما شبعنا من كلام ربنا. He said, by Allah, if our hearts were pure, we will never have had enough. We will continue to be hungry and thirsty for the Quran, if our hearts were pure. So what is that saying? And so we need to remember that when you're reading the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's talking to you. He's talking to me. And if you want to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you pray 2 minutes of prayer. You pray, then you're talking to Allah. But when you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to talk to you, you read the Quran. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Ya ayyuhal nas, Ya ayyuhal ladhina aman. And that's why one of the Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, said, when you hear Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, listen carefully. Because what is about to come is a command for you to do something which is beneficial for you, or a prohibition that is going to keep you away from something which is harmful and detrimental to yourself. Ramadan, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is the month of Tawbah. It is the month of repentance. We need to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day, but more so in the month of Ramadan, at this station, at this stop. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. All of you, تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, repent to Allah. أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, O believers, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you may be successful. Don't you want to be successful? Then make tawbah. Make tawbah before it's too late. Make tawbah before the angel of death comes to you. You never know when he's going to come, brothers and sisters in Islam. Tubu ila Allah. Tubu ila Allah before they're going to put you in that 6-foot hole, and then they're going to go away and they're going to fight over your wealth and your fortunes. Wa anta ya miskeen, and you poor person. You're going to be left with what? You're going to be left with either hasanat or sayyat, or more sayyat and little hasanat. Don't you want your furnishings in your grave to be furnishings of Jannah? Don't you want your grave to be expanded? Don't you want to see your place in Jannah? Then what are we waiting for? Why are we procrastinating? Why are we delaying our tawbah? What's the problem? Really, what is the problem? And we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, tubu ila Allah wa astaghfiru. Make tawbah and make istighfar. Ask Allah to forgive you. فَإِنِّي أَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الْيَوْمِ مِئَةَ مَرَّةٍ. For verily, I make tawbah to Allah in one day 100 times. That's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose past and future sins are forgiven. 100 times a day he's saying, إِنِّي أَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. He's constantly making tawbah. This is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له. That the one who repents from a sinful action, it's as if he has no sinful action. And the Prophet ﷺ informed us that long story of the man in Banu Israel. He killed 99 people, he killed 100 people, but yet he was forgiven. Malaikatul Rahmah came down and they took his soul away. Are you worse? Have you killed 100 people? I haven't read anywhere in the newspapers that, you know, a Sydney person kills 100 people. Never heard of a serial killer in my life killing 100 people. So alhamdulillah, no one's killed 100 people. Yet that person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he forgave him. You know something, brothers and sisters in Islam? Listen to this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gives us glad tidings and he tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he becomes very happy. He becomes very pleased when a person makes tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He makes a parable and he says, Lallahi ashaddu farahan. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is more pleased with his abd, with his slave, the one who repents to Allah, than a man who is in a waterless desert. And he is with his riding animal. And on his riding animal, he has his provisions. He has his food and he has his drink. He's in the middle of the desert. What happens? The animal goes away. Imagine being in the middle of the desert. Your life is on this animal and it goes away. Khalas, rah. So what does he do? He loses hope. And he finds a tree and he goes and lays under the tree. And yani, he's pretty much waiting for death. And then all of a sudden, he opens up his eyes and he sees the rope that is around the neck of the animal. The rope is dangling before his eyes. So what does he do? What would you do? You grab it very quickly. He grabs it. Now he's so happy. When you're happy, what do? You thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, Allahumma anta abdi wa ana rabbuka. He says, oh Allah, you're my slave and I am your Lord. Akhta'a, the Prophet ﷺ said, Akhta'a min shiddatil farah. He made a mistake from the extreme happiness. He was so happy. He says, oh Allah, you're my slave and I am your Lord. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more happier towards the one who comes back to Allah and he repents to Allah than that person is in finding his animal. Isn't that a glad tiding? Isn't it really a glad tiding? Pass on this message. Give hope to the brothers and sisters out there who have lost hope, thinking, I've done drugs, I've done this, I've done that, I'm drowning in ma'asi. Give them hope. Don't underestimate your words, brothers and sisters in Islam. وَدَّلُّ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ كَفَاعِلِهِ. That the one who guides other people towards khair, towards goodness, you will get their rewards if they become guided. Let's share. Islam is about sharing. And so let us stop procrastinating. Let us stop saying tomorrow or when I get married, when I perform hajj, when this, when that. Stop it. Give all of those excuses a black eye. Punch them out. What are we waiting for? Because wallahi, these are destructive sins. And subhanAllah, studies have actually shown that usually for a change in behavior to take effect, it takes about 30 to 40 days for a change of behavior to become a habit. And then after that, about 6 months, it becomes a lifestyle. Ramadan, you got 30 days. You want to get rid of a bad habit? You want to stop smoking? You want to stop plucking? You want to wear hijab? You want to stop your riba? Let's do it in Ramadan, inshaAllah ta'ala. Let's do it. Why say later? This is it now, Allah. He's delivered us to the month of Ramadan. Let's do it, inshaAllah ta'ala. Let's help one another. Ramadan is the month of dua, brothers and sisters in Islam. Ad-du'a. And subhanAllah, right after the verses in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about siyam, he says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. He says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي. And if my ibad, my slaves, they ask you about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. I'm near. Allah is near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I respond, I answer the dua of the one who makes dua, of the supplicator, when he calls upon me. How many of us, do we need something? Again, you want to get married? You want a job? You want money? What do you want? Everyone has different needs and different things that they want. What about this Ramadan we make dua? Make dua between the adhan and the iqamah. Instead of when you come to the masjid and you spend time chatting, raise your hands and sit there and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity and be persistent. Be like that child is towards a parent. You know, when the child, when they want something, daddy, daddy, mommy, mommy, and they keep on persisting and persisting until they get what they want. Most of the time. Be like that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be persistent. And in the last third of the night, make dua during the suhoor time. وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And the righteous people are those who make istighfar during the last third of the night. When you're breaking your fast, in your sujood. When you're in the sujood, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before the taslim. After you say Ibrahimiyyah, make dua, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من عذاب جهنم ومن عذاب القبر ومن فتنة المحيا والممات ومن فتنة المسيح الدجال. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار, etc, etc. When you're traveling, many times that you can make dua. The month of Ramadan, also brothers and sisters in Islam, is the month of sadaqah, the month to give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen to this beautiful verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ.
Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Remember what I said before? When you hear أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, what are you going to do? You're going to listen carefully, because what comes after it is a command to do something that's going to benefit you. What's the benefit? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى تِجَارَةٍ. Do you want me to guide you towards a tijara? You know, when we hear tijara, when we hear trade, when we hear business, a brother approaches you and he says to you, brother, I've got a business proposal. What happens? Your eyes light up. Huh? Your blood rushes. Allahu Akbar. There's a chance I'm going to make that million. There's a chance I'm going to own that car, that Porsche, that BMW, that whatever. Allahu Akbar. Well, now there's a tijara here, ya akhwan. There's a tijara. There is a tijara that you can make here. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu hal adullukum ala tijara. But what type of a tijara is it? It's the mother of all tijarat. Tunjikum min adhabin aleem. It protects you, it safeguards you from a tormentful punishment. What is it, ya Rab? Tu'minuna billah wa rasulih. That you believe in Allah. That you make istislam, that you submit yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You act upon the revelation. وَرَسُولِي, and you believe in the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and you again take from him what he has given us and advised us to do. وَتُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and that you strive in the cause of Allah. How? بِأَمْوَالِكُمْ, with your wealth. وَأَنفُسِكُمْ, and yourselves. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. That is better for you if only in you. If only in you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why do the ulama, they mention, you know, giving sadaqah in Ramadan? There must be some sort of basis. Well, because we find in the hadith, kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hina yalqahu Jibril alayhi salam, ajwada bil khair min ar-rih al-mursala. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Jibreel used to meet him, he used to meet him every night in Ramadan, كَانَ أَجْوَدْ مِنَ الرِّيحِ الْمُرْسَلَةِ. He was more generous than a pleasant wind that has been sent. You know, when you have a nice breeze and it comes and it's so beautiful and it brings so much good with it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Ramadan, he was open-handed. He wasn't close-fisted. And if you want to give, you give in the month of Ramadan. And you give when you're in a state where you feel actually stingy. You know, sometimes you feel that you don't want to give. That's the time you give. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the best sadaqah is when you are sahih, when you're in good health. Shahih, that you feel like close-fisted. Takhsha al-faqr, where you fear poverty. Wa ta'mal al-ghina, and that you are hoping to become rich. That's when you give sadaqah. That's the best form of sadaqah. And so this is the month also, brothers and sisters in Islam, to weep for your shortcomings. To cry. If you don't cry, brothers and sisters in Islam, then you force yourself to cry. مَنْ لَمْ يَبْكِي فَلْيَتَبَاكَ. So the ulama said that the one who does not cry, he should try and cry. Because this will soften the heart. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, listen to this hadith, which is found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لَا يَلِجُ النَّارِ رَجُلٌ بَكَى مِنْ خَشَّةِ اللَّهِ حَتَّى يَعُودُ اللَّبَنَ فِي الضَّرْعِ. He said, he will not enter the hellfire, the one who cries from the fear of Allah until the milk goes back into the udder. In other words, into the gland of the cow, the teat. In other words, what? It's impossible. Ramadan, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is the month of sabr, patience. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he says what?
يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين.
صبر. Again, يا أيها الذين آمنوا. So I'm going to listen very carefully. And when you're in the Taraweeh this Ramadan, every time you hear the Imam says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا. We're going to listen, inshallah ta'ala, aren't we? We're not going to be focusing on the dessert. Huh? We're not going to be focusing on what comes after the Salat al-Taraweeh. So we need to be patient in the month of Ramadan. If a person who is fasting is sworn at or made angry by someone, he should say what? Inni sa'im, inni sa'im. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. And the reward for patience is Jannah. And subhanAllah, how many of us have ever thought about smelling Jannah? You know that Sahabi radiallahu anhu wa ardah, Anas ibn al-Nadr, he was in the battle of Uhud. And during the battle of Uhud, he says, radiallahu anhu wa arda, he said, wahin li rihi al-jannah inni la ajidu rihaha min wara'i Uhud. He said, I can smell the fragrance of Jannah behind Uhud. He actually smelled the Jannah. And then what happened? He was martyred. Radiallahu anhu wa arda. Have we smelt Ramadan before we smell Jannah, inshaAllah ta'ala? Are we smelling Ramadan? You gotta smell it, brothers and sisters in Islam. You know how they say you can just smell it. Huh? That's what we want to do, inshaAllah. We've got to really psych ourselves up, pump ourselves up, get ready for Ramadan. And so the month of Ramadan is also a month to be united, brothers and sisters in Islam. A month to be united. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. Don't go into disputation with one another. Because what happens? You will lose out. You'll become losers. And what will happen? وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. And your strength will go away. The strength of the Muslims will always be with the unity, with the jama'ah, by us, all of us, inshallah, holding on to the rope of Allah. All together, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold fast onto the rope of Allah, in other words, the Qur'an, and do not be disunited. Finally, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Ramadan is the month to get used to fulfilling the sunnah. Ramadan is a month to train yourself to follow in the footsteps of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do you all love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Does anyone not love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I don't think so. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. The true love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes how? Comes in following in the footsteps of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say, if you truly love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, follow me, and Allah will love you. And so we find, subhanAllah, we really need to revive. Again, that word, revive the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu wa arda. Anas ibn Malik, 50 years later, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looked at the state of the Muslims and he began to cry and he began to weep. This is only 50 years later. And he said, I do not find nowadays things as they were practiced at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine what Anas ibn Malik would say if he was hanging out with us today. And so this Ramadan, let's uphold the sunnah. Let us wake up for suhoor. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَسَحَّرُوا فَإِنَّ فِي السُّحُورِ بَرَكَةً. Take up your pre-dawn meal, for verily there is barakah, there is a blessing in that meal. This is a good time to, inshallah, get into your complex carbohydrates. You know, foods, inshaAllah ta'ala, that are going to give you that boost throughout the day. Go for, you know, the dates, the good healthy foods, because inshaAllah we want healthy bodies, because healthy bodies and a healthy mind, that's what we want, inshaAllah. We don't want to be obese. We eat to live, right? These days, subhanAllah, find people live to eat. We need to really take care of our physical body as well, so that we can enjoy the ibadah. So that we can enjoy doing these many acts of worship, inshaAllah ta'ala. We take up the suhoor. The suhoor, the time itself, there's barakah. And the meal itself, the Prophet ﷺ says, there's a barakah in it. Also, from amongst fulfilling the sunnah, when it comes to breaking your fast,
break your fast on an odd number of dates. On an odd number of dates. Not dates and milk. Some people, they think it's dates and milk. It's dates. If you want to follow it up with milk, you can do that. Now, if there is no dates, the Prophet ﷺ said, you do what? You have sips of water. That's the sunnah. And subhanAllah, when you read about the dates when they enter your body, the thing that it lacks the most after this long hours of fasting is the sugar levels are very low. And so subhanAllah, you pump up that sugar levels and you get it ready for, you get all the organs ready inshallah for the other food. Lots and lots of benefits, subhanAllah ta'ala. Also, we find when you come to break your fast, upholding the sunnah, there are four phrases that I want you to remember. When you come to break your fast, we have many different versions of the dua that you say when it comes to breaking your fast. Inshallah, the one I'm going to mention with you right now appears to be the most authentic. So inshallah, stick to it and leave off the rest. And the hadith is very simple, four phrases. ذَهَبَ الظَّمَأْ وَابْتَلَّتِ الْعُرُوقْ وَثَبَتَ الْأَجْرُ إِنْشَاءَ. Four phrases. ذَهَبَ الظَّمَأْ وَابْتَلَّتِ الْعُرُوقْ وَثَبَتَ الْأَجْرُ إِنْشَاءَ. This is the dua, this is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we're going to say at the time that we break our fast. Also, I remind you that Ramadan is a month of Taraweeh, the month of the night prayers. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ قَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِ. That whoever stands up in prayer during Ramadan, during the nights of Ramadan, إِيمَانًا, out of iman, believing that it is something which is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, iman and wahtisaba, and sincerity and seeking the rewards of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his past sins will be forgiven. His past sins will be forgiven. And the sunnah, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, when you come to the masajid, is to pray with the imam until he finishes. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith which is found in the sunan, he said, إِنَّهُ مَنْ قَامَ مَعَ الْإِمَامِ حَتَّى يَنْصَرِفْ كُتِبَ لَهُ قِيَامُ لَيْلًا. That the one who prays with the imam, who stands up in prayer until the imam finishes, it will be written for him as if he stayed up the whole night in prayers. And subhanAllah, it's a real shame to see so many people, they leave the jama'ah or they leave and the imam hasn't finished, and so they are forfeiting a great deal of reward. So do yourself inshallah ta'ala a favor and stay with the imam until he finishes. Also, I remind you of course that inshallah, if you can afford it, to do a umrah in Ramadan. When you do a umrah, when you go to Mecca and you do your umrah, it takes 2 hours inshallah ta'ala. 2 hours, if you do it in Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is like doing hajj in terms of its reward and merit. It's like doing hajj in one narration. It's like doing hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the gifts, look at the rewards that Ramadan has to offer. Also, I remind you, from amongst the sunnah of Ramadan, is to actually feed other people who are fasting. And in the hadith found in Tirmidhi, the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ فَطَّرَ صَائِمًا كَانَ لَهُ مِثْلُ أَجْرِهِ غَيْرَ أَنَّهُ لَا يَنْقُصُ مِنْ أَجْرِ الصَّائِمِ شَيْئًا. That whoever breaks the fast of a fasting person, he will have the rewards of that fasting person without the reward of that fasting person being diminished, without it being reduced. SubhanAllah, look at the rewards. Alhamdulillah, these days you can send overseas, you can send to Palestine, you can send to Lebanon, you can send to many parts of the Muslim world. You can actually help break somebody's fast and get the rewards for that, inshaAllah ta'ala. Also, I remind you about the importance of the last 10 days of Ramadan. The last 10 days of Ramadan are to be taken very seriously. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith Aisha radiallahu anha, found in Bukhari and Muslim, كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا دَخَلَ الْعَشْرِ, that when the last 10 days would come, شَدَّ مِئْزَرَهُ, that he would tighten the waist belt. It's not like that he had a waist belt, but this is kinaya, this is like a figure of speech to say that he worked harder, that he worked more harder when the last 10 days of Ramadan came. So don't wear yourself out in the beginning. Don't go full strength and then you die out. That's what happens. Some people, they die out towards the end of Ramadan. Pace yourself. Make sure that you leave some energy for the last 10 days of Ramadan. وَأَحْيَ لَيْلَهُ وَأَيْقَذَ أَهْلَهُ, that the Prophet ﷺ would stand the whole night in prayer and he would wake up his family. So wake up your families. Wake up your families for suhoor. Come to the masjid together. If you have a neighbor, come together to the fajr, come together to the taraweeh, and reap up the rewards insha'Allah ta'ala. And finally, I remind you about that night, Laylatul Qadr. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Laylatul Qadri khayru min alfi shahr, that the month, that the layla, that the night of Qadr At the night Lailatul Qadr, which is in the, one of the odd evenings of the last 10 days of Ramadan, it is better than 1,000 months. It is better than 83 years and 4 months of worship. Alhamdulillah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man qama Lailatul Qadri imanan wa ihtisaba ghufir lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi." That whoever stays up during the night of Lailatul Qadr out of iman, out of belief in its reward and belief in its virtue, he will have his past sins forgiven. Subhanallah, look at the opportunities. Look at the opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with in this blessed month. Hatha wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us during this month of Ramadan. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the energy and the strength to worship Him, to remember Him, and to fulfill our duties inshallah ta'ala towards Him. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.